Good evening. My name is Joe Phillips. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. I welcome everybody tonight to the April 6th meeting. We have a little bit of bookkeeping to do here. The first will be the introductions. I'd like to notice that we have a new member to the board today, Stephen Bow, and I think it's good to start with Mr. Bow. And normally we do an introduction of our name and what district we're representing, and some people like to say where they live, others like to keep it a deep dark secret.
I won't give you the exact address, but Stephen Bow here, District 3 Central Kitsap, and I live in Silverdale. I'm happy to be on board.
Great. We're happy to have you on board. Your fellow Central Kitsap commissioners?
My name is Alan Beam. I'm Central Kitsap. I live in Enatai Beach.
Okay.
Mike Elias in Central Kitsap, and the chairperson said others, but he meant other. He was referring to me regarding disclosure of location.
I gave you some cover.
It's a running joke, reminding me, as I mentioned a long time ago, about Dick Cheney when he was at an undisclosed location.
Okay, and our South Kitsap commissioners?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Stacy Smith. I represent South Kitsap. I live in unincorporated South Kitsap. I've had the pleasure of being a resident of Manchester, Sunny Slope, and currently in the Waterman area.
Okay. Oh, Carrie, you need to unmute.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Carrie Kaltenborn Corey, South Kitsap from the Manchester area.
Okay. And Kim Allen has sent her regrets that she won't be able to make tonight. And then in North Kitsap.
Hi, this is Amy Mall, North Kitsap, Kingston.
Okay, and I'm Joe Phillips, North Kitsap. I'm at the north end of Silverdale. And hopefully, Aaron Murphy will be joining us shortly. Okay, a little protocol on participation tonight. For internet users on the Zoom meetings, you'll see at the bottom of your screen a raised hand. You can click that to indicate that you wish to speak, and then the clerk will allow you, will open it up when it's your turn to speak. For call-in users, you use a *9 on your handset to indicate that you wish to speak. And then when you are called on, you use *6 to unmute your phone. I see our wayward commissioner Murphy has logged in.
Yes, thank you. Calling from Lake Roosevelt. So sorry about the internet connection, but we'll get there.
Okay, good. And that, let's see. And that covers our introductions, our virtual meeting. And now we'll call for the adoption of the agenda. Please note that on tonight's agenda, there was a list we put down the suggested order of approval for the titles in this motion. It's suggestion. If anybody has a real heartburn with it, they can suggest the change to the agenda at this time. And I call this meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Okay. Okay, so we have a adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay, do I have a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Okay, it is seconded. And all those in favor, raise your hands and say aye.
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 Okay, unanimous. Well, I'm assuming you voted yes, Aaron.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the adoption of the minutes for the March 16th meeting. Do I have a motion for adoption of the minutes? Commissioner Beam? Do I have a second?
I have, it's not a doubt. I have not seen the minutes. I didn't see where they were posted.
The minutes haven't been posted yet, Joe, Commissioner Phillips. Okay.
Sorry.
I refuse to approve anything I haven't seen.
Yeah. Very understandable, Commissioner.
Understandable. Okay, so we will skip adoption of minutes and go to item E, which is the public comment time. At this time, if we have anybody from the public that wishes to comment on any item at this time, we will grant 3 minutes for those that wish to speak.
A point of order?
Yes.
If I could just mention, they can speak about anything other than our deliberation tonight so that we don't accidentally entertain new public comments. Correct? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes.
Great.
We just have one attendee. I don't see any indication, no hand raised.
Okay.
All right. Palmer, did you want to speak? You should be able to unmute if you do.
I don't know whether my comment is would be considered testimony or not. It's more like procedure. How is it that since the Planning Commission hasn't completed their deliberations that they already have a set of findings of fact? That kind of seems like a little bit out of order.
All right, and I will address that. Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Palmer. I went ahead and okayed the idea that we have a draft made up so that if we get to tonight to approval, it will be a easier process to amend a draft resolution than to start from scratch on that. Okay. All right. Now, item F. We have the status update on the buildable lands report. Liz Williams.
Good evening, and thank you, Chair Phillips. For the record, my name is Liz Williams. I'm the planning supervisor with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. So just wanted to quickly provide a status update on a couple of fronts related to the buildable lands report and the update that we are working on in coordination with local cities. So the first update this evening relates to the public comment period pertaining to the population and employment trends information that we've been working and speaking with the Planning Commission on. So at this time, we're still coordinating with local cities on that information. So the proposed public comment period is not going to be taking place at the end of March as originally planned, the final buildable lands report, and will be integrated, and there will be public comment opportunities as part of that process later on in the review of this work. In addition, I know the Planning Commission has had quite a bit of questions related to the residential land capacity analysis and the work that we're currently coordinating with the cities on. We have reviewed preliminary steps 0 through 3 on that review of residential land. And we do have posted on the project website a copy of the preliminary draft guidance for steps 0 through 9 of the residential land capacity analysis, which does include preliminary recommendations for market factors. And it is our intent to come back to the Planning Commission at your April 20th meeting to provide a deeper dive into that information. But want you to know that it is available on the project website. And if my internet is still working, I'm going to try to navigate and show you where that is right now. So if you recall the buildable lands update page, you can access this from the DCD homepage or Department of Community Development. Once you're located there, on the right-hand side under project documents is the location of the preliminary draft residential LCA guidance. If you'd like to take a look at that, and we'll, like I said, be providing more information on the contents of that preliminary draft at your April 20th meeting. So any questions at this time from the commission?
Do any of the commissioners have any questions at this point? I will assume no. I think we're good. I appreciate the update.
Hi, and I'll be back. The department will be back at your April 20th meeting.
Okay. Yep.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay. Having got through, our next item is the deliberation, part 2 of 2. At this point, we will pick up where it was left off. I know that the last minute updates that were given for the last meeting, everybody wanted time to go over those and be able to come up with, after scrutinizing it, to come up with any pertinent questions. Do we have any issues that anybody wants to address? Commissioner Eliason.
Okay. On the matrix part 3, I had a few on view blockage. See if I can pull up the right one here. After receiving public comment, the staff submitted change recommended. And it says proposed language. In order to protect water views, all principal buildings and all additions to a principal building shall be located to maintain the minimum shoreline structure setback line. All such buildings, including reconstruction of existing principal buildings allowed per section 22400.100B, must also be designed not to significantly impact views from principal buildings on adjoining and neighboring property or properties. The shoreline structure setback line for the purpose of the subsection is based on the location of the principal building at the time of a permit for a new principal building and shall be determined as, and then it continues. And I'm wondering, with all the different language we have in the code, retaining the rights of property owners when it comes to non-conforming use, why are we making this particular change? I mean, I can understand in trying to balance and trying to weigh any type of a remodel, but my concern is, especially houses that were built you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And then to each adjacent site, you have newer homes, but then that older home that needs to be replaced could run into a problem. And I realize, I think you're using the word significantly impact, but who's to determine that? The DCD permit technician, the department director? So I'm wondering if you could give us some clarification on your proposed language.
Okay.
I can start by addressing that. So this is on the comment matrix, issue number two, comment 2C, about change wording and view blockage to allow for future remodeling or reconstruction. And so the department, as you could see under the change recommended and description of why we recommended this additional, highlighted in yellow, additional change to the proposed amendments released in early February. Clarifying language proposed edit to cross-reference 22400-100B to enable future remodeling or reconstruction of those lawfully constructed existing structures and uses. And then any increased nonconformances as it relates to the current SMP will not be permitted. Dave, did you want to add on to that? I know Dan, who also has, and Layla is on board here, but Dan was having some audio issues and was trying to get on the call tonight.
Yeah, this was more of a question for Dan, but what this is basically doing is this is basically saying that any additions to a principal structure need to follow the same view blockage restrictions as a principal structure do.
That are currently in effect. You're not grandfathered. So, you know, 60 years ago when a house was built on a waterfront, they didn't contemplate 100 and 200 foot setbacks. So when you have your, for example, in the illustrations you have where you have three parcels and let's say this subject property is the middle property and it's built closer to the shoreline, but it's at the point it needs a remodel or maybe the house burned. And now under this new proposed language, that the adjoining property owners on each side could object that their view's blocked. Well, their view's been blocked since they moved in there. They may have been here the last 10 or 20 years, but that other house in the middle has been there 70. So my concern is those types of properties, why would we be making this kind of a change?
Dan, are you able to chime in on this one? We are looking at, in the comment matrix, we're looking at 2C. I know you were having trouble getting in.
If it's helpful, I can share my screen so we could everyone could see that language while Dan tries to unmute himself. Okay, do you see my screen? Dan, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, but the comment is, the response is split.
I don't believe Mr. Nichols able, I'm not sure why we can't get access through his mic.
You could maybe put it in the chat, but the question and the concern is why are we providing this, or allowing that these older structures be able to reconstruct and rebuild?
And basically it's not changing any situation that is not currently in effect. So if something is being reconstructed, it's not altering the situation on the ground.
Through you, the Planning Commissioner, Chair, or the Chair, I was assisting Mr. Nichol through the Watershed Company in regards to this language. And the central crux of this is cross-referencing existing, essentially non-conformance / existing development code, which was already in effect. So let's say there is a fire or there's destruction that would enable someone to rebuild because there's extenuating circumstances. We would be flipping back to the existing development code that's in place. So the key thing is Commissioner Eliason, you'll want to reference back to 22.400.100, and that will guide staff based on prior planning commissioners' review under the comprehensive update as to what the parameters are for existing development.
Okay. I'll wait till deliberation to make comment. Thank you.
And then hopefully that made sense.
Yeah. Okay. And then I have a couple others, but I'll give everybody else a chance first.
If I could just ask, when different speakers are speaking, could you introduce yourself for the record? Because the audio won't pick up who's speaking in between. So.
Oh, apologies. This was Layla Willoughby Oaks for the Watershed Company.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments at this point? Commissioner Clayton Bourne, Corey, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I had a couple of questions actually also related to the view blockage. Does Kitsap County have a view ordinance in general or something separate than the S&P?
This portion of the code is specific to the SMP.
Okay, so
it does not apply upland.
If there was a view ordinance in general, it would not affect this area with the SMP.
That's correct.
Okay, and being from Manchester, views are pretty important to everybody here. And there's a view protection overlay zone specifically in Manchester that's separate. And it is actually a little more strict than the S&P for the height numbers. I think the overlay is 28 feet max height, where the S&P is 35. So which would take priority? Like which would they need to look at here?
The more restrictive code would apply.
Okay. And it looks like from the view protection overlay zone up until 2016, it did take into account vegetation height. So I was just wondering what was behind that change that it was removed in 2016.
Why the vegetation portion of the Manchester view overlay was removed in 2016?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Right.
I do not know the answer to that question.
I was just wondering, since
Jeff, you were around then, do you recall?
I don't. We can find that answer for you, Commissioner. If I was to take an initial shot at it, it would probably be the removal of vegetation within the shoreline habitat and trying to maintain the natural vegetation, vice removal of trees or continued topping of trees. But I don't know specifics on that. I can get back to you with that, though. You can follow
up. Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking maybe some of the reasoning behind that would clarify for some of the people concerned with vegetation with the S&P, like some of the history. But thank you.
Okay. Any other questions at this time? Commissioner Bean.
Matrix, paragraph 15. And that talks about monitoring systems. The verbiage in this response talks to the possibility of establishing a monitoring system, but it directs its attention to the actions of monitoring the actions of the individual homeowner in his mitigation plan. I think when we're going to do a monitoring system, we need to be much broader than that, and we need to address, how do we know that this system is even working? We need to be monitoring the environment to figure out what no net loss is and what, or if we're losing or if we're gaining. And we don't address general monitoring in this. And we've been discussing that since 2012, sometime around that. I was wondering why did we not bring that up in this discussion?
As a separate activity, we are currently under National Estuary Program funding, working on pulling together an effectiveness monitoring program that addresses not only shorelines, but other critical areas as well. So that's a separate activity that's being developed right now that's not included in this periodic review.
And Dave, can you guys hear me? This is Dan.
Yes, Michael. We can hear you, Dan.
Yes.
All right, finally. I'm sorry, everybody, for my inability to get on earlier. I think just to tack on to that, the no net loss review process is something that is not actually required at this time during the 8-year periodic review cycle. It's something that the Department of Ecology is not mandated through the Shoreline Management Act at this point in time. It is likely that that is going to come back for county for all jurisdictions in the state to review at some point. And so part of the emphasis on monitoring or establishing a monitoring program really starts at the project level so that the county can, in the future, when we do have to are asked to, show that we've achieved no net loss, that we have those that documentation in order. But at this point in time, it's not a requirement by the Department of Ecology.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions at this time? Commissioner Lyson.
Okay, next subject is trails. And we discussed this at a previous meeting. We had a written comment from Washington State Parks, and they expressed their concerns about application of the Americans with Disabilities Act in regard to trails and the different surfaces. And I thought the staff did a really good job explaining why they're recommending no change, but I would want just a little bit more clarification. First, have you had any, other than this written response, have you had any discussions with Washington State Park? Specifically, I'm curious, can they make changes so they can do some of the pervious surfaces that you recommended? Because under the change not recommended, everyone would be required. It says pervious surfaces shall be utilized except where determined infeasible. And then the second question I have about that is, who determines it's infeasible? Again, is this the permit technician? Is it the department director? How far does this go? Because usually we specify in the code who has authority to determine. Obviously can't do that in every written statement in the code. But I'm just curious, who's the authorizing authority?
So to answer your first question, we have not had one-on-one discussions with state parks. It's important to keep in mind here that there are pervious surfaces that are available that do provide accessibility. It's also important to remember that ADA does not automatically default to a flat paved surface. So there are a number of options that are available here. As far as feasibility, that is reviewed at the time of permit application. And in some cases it could be pervious asphalt, but in other cases that might not be practical or feasible. So then we can move to some other surfacing. But again, it would be incorrect to assume or to default to the presumption that ADA accessibility under the ADA automatically means paved. It does not.
Thank you.
Okay. And Commissioner Beam.
I have some questions on item number 10. On exemption letters, and this is probably for my own knowledge. Do you have to have the exemption letter for the shoreline before you put in the building permit? Does that all go in at the same time? If you have to do the exemption letter first, doesn't that extend out this process even further? Am I not understanding what the exemption letters are for?
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, the exemption letters are very specific, Commissioner Beam, and have set thresholds that have to be met to be exempt when it comes to shoreline development. So when we're looking at those, it's a process that the county reviews internally to ensure that it meets the WAC requirement to be eligible for exemption, to then move that forward without doing a substantial shoreline development permit or requiring other permit requirements. That is the purpose of the exemption, and you really have to go through and call out just how much it's going to cost, what the scope is it repair to an existing feature. There's a very limited window of what can be exempted, and those exemption letters are the specific process used by Kitsap to ensure that you don't need anything else. It's kind of like almost like a checklist that they have to roll through, but staff has to review that.
Where is that laid out?
And before a building permit is issued, and if it relates to a shoreline exemption letter, if that's required, needs to be issued as well.
And are you asking about where the requirements laid out for what's necessary for shoreline exemption? Yeah. That actually can be found in the WAC. It's in the RCW in the WAC, which is included in the comment matrix there as to what the specifics are for it.
One thing that came up in testimony last time or the time before is that sometimes the builder gets hit with all three of the exemptions and the processes. That sounds like it's adding cost on cost on cost. Is there a way of lumping all those into one highest one? Or am I not understanding?
No, there are scenarios where the three different permit types that you'd be looking at would be driven not necessarily by Kitsap County, but there's a requirement coming from other agencies. But Kitsap County is the administrator and the one charged with taking responsibility for doing that. We look at pulling those together, and we do lump as many as we can under the most expensive to try and move that forward. But there's not the ability to negate a permit sometimes saying, well, we're going to do this one, so we just won't do this one, because it's not always driven by specifically our code as to the requirement.
Thank you.
Commissioner Eliason.
That was the third subject I had, the shoreline development permit, SSDP. And in the written testimony of the Kitsap Alliance of Property Owners, Mr. Palmer suggested that the changes in the current code would require another layer and an additional 6 months permit time and substantial cost. I did not see staff comment about those suggestions. Could you give us any clarification?
Irvy, do we have that in the matrix?
Yes, I'm locating it right now.
You have the paragraph number, Commissioner?
Which item number is it, do you know?
I'm gonna have to go back in here and find the original letter, just a moment.
It's...
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't access it unless I go to the county website, because it's not in the Dropbox. It's in a previous, actually, it may have been in the March 16 meeting. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, I've located the letter. Let me pull it.
Dan or Layla, if you can locate where that letter and that comment was specifically addressed in the comment matrix, please identify it. This is the comment letter from Kitsap Alliance of Property Owners about the additional cost and process. Was specific to the shoreline exemption letter or just overall process?
It's in bullet point 7, relative to findings. No mention of the impact the update will have on application fees. I'm sorry, it was at number 6. Other items for consideration. It's item number 15, exemptions from SDP. Yeah. And their comment was, this is an absurd and an untenable requirement of the highest order. And then it references adding an additional 6 months to the approval process and substantial cost. And I didn't think I saw that in the matrix. I could be wrong. And I'm just wondering if the staff had a response to those comments.
My initial interpretation is that refers to the need for that shoreline exemption letter, which you may think is like an additional step, an additional 6 months. But if there is a specific process and permit procedure for securing that shoreline exemption letter, and 6 months is it doesn't take 6 months. I know for sure I've helped property owners apply for a shoreline exemption. So if that is addressed, it's under 10, which is the same shoreline exemption letter of exemption response.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Issue number 10, letter of exemption, the shoreline requirement to have shoreline exemptions undergo shoreline review will add time and expense. Then it's addressed there for letter 3 and letter 15, which is both Kitsap lands of property owners.
Yeah, thanks, Kirby. That is correct.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions at this time? No? Okay. I believe we need to move into our deliberation. Now, at this point, we need to go ahead and resolve any issues that anybody has or discuss it, and then we can move on to the voting. We've done the question and answer session. Would we want to start with deliberation on Title 15? Or actually.
So we'll need to have a motion to consider, we'll need a main motion to consider approval of changes as presented and amended by the Planning Commission to that specific title. And then once it's seconded, then you can open up discussion, move along, and then that's where the amendments will come through.
Okay. So do I have a motion to consider, let's see, you said a motion to approve Title 15?
To approve as amended.
As amended. Crickets.
Once you have that main, just to explain a little bit, once you have that main overall motion, at that point we'll go through each section, and anyone that has any items they want to amend or changes they want to suggest will propose an amendment to that main motion, and then you'll discuss, you can vote on that amendment, and as you work your way all the way through, you get to the end, and then you will have amended the whole title with everything voted along the way, and then you can vote whether or not to approve it as a whole with all okay. The amendments the Planning Commission has made along the way. It's usually, it doesn't sound easy, but it's easier when dealing with huge sections like this that have so many pieces in it. So I can try and answer any questions if I didn't explain it well enough too.
So. Okay, so we need a motion to approve the changes to the SMP as amended. And then we can break it down into the titles. Is that correct?
You'll make a motion to approve Title 15, if that's what you're starting okay. with, as amended. And then once you vote on, someone will second it. And then as you go through the discussion, that's when the amendments come in. So when we say as amendment, you're going to make the amendments as we go through, and then you vote at the very end. If they as amended at the beginning, then the amendments will come and follow, and then you'll vote at the end.
Okay.
So we do a title by title, starting with 15, then 21, then 19, then 22.
All right. Commissioner Smith.
Well, I was just going to make a motion if that would be helpful.
Yes, it is. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion for Title 15, Flood Hazard Areas, with amendments as proposed.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Commissioner Bowe seconds. Okay. At this point, now can we
open discuss?
We open for discussion any proposed changes for Title 15. Do we have any proposed amendments to it? No, that's why we started with this one. Okay, so with no Commissioner Lyson.
I don't have an amendment to it, but this was a tough one because we had a lot of written testimony from Suquamish tribes, Skokomish, Jamestown, Clallam, and others wanting us to incorporate climate change policies into it. So
yes.
It may sound like this was an easy one for us, but it may not be as well.
Well, also it was the county has taken the climate change under consideration. They've started down that path as a whole and not going to piecemeal it into amendments along the way. So for everybody's understanding, the county is not being silent on this in this particular code. It's not addressing it, it's addressing it in an elsewhere item. So any other thoughts or amendments on this? Going once, going twice. All right, discussion is closed. So now we need a vote to approve the Title 15 as amended. And I would assume we can vote now. All those in favor, please raise your hands and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's approved with one absent. Okay. That's the first one down. All right, now we need a motion to approve Title 21 as amended. Do I hear a motion?
I'll go for it. Okay. I move to approve Title 21 as presented and amended by the Planning Commission.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Smith, thank you. All right. At this point, we're open for discussion and amendments. Does anybody have a amendment or comment on this particular title? Going once, going twice. Okay, I will consider that opened and closed, and we call for a vote. All those in favor of approving Title 21, the Land Use and Development Procedures as amended, please raise your hand and say aye, and please keep your hand up while I do a quick count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7. All those opposed, please raise your hand and say aye. And we have approval. Vote count is 7-1 and 1 absent. All right, so that is approved. For the next, need a motion for Title 19, the Critical Areas Ordinance, for a motion to approve it. No one wants to propose.
I'll move to approve Title 19 Critical Areas Ordinance with amendments as proposed.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Clayton Borg Corey. And a second?
I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Mull. All right. We have a motion to approve and amend Title 19, the Critical Areas Ordinance. It's open for discussion or amendments at this time. Do I have any amendments or discussion on this? Hearing none, that closes this time period for that. And the vote for Title 19. All those in favor of approving Title 19 as amended, please raise your hand and say aye.
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 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. Okay. And all those opposed? Oh, I guess we had 8. Okay. And all right, so that passes unanimously. All right, Title 22, Shoreline Master Program. Do I have a motion to approve Title 22, the Shoreline Master Program?
I'd like to make a motion to approve Title 22, Shoreline Master Program with amendments as proposed.
All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you. All right, the motion is now open. The Shoreline Master Program. Do I have any amendments or comments on this? Commissioner Smith.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to amend and add additional language to section 22.100.110 under purpose and intent to include the following sentence. Kitsap County fully recognizes the American Indian Point No Point Treaty and honoring the usual and customary tribal lands in recognition of the indigenous people, as well as the importance and value of our shoreline.
Do I have a second on the proposed amendment?
I second the proposed amendment.
Second. All right. Any discussion about this proposal? Commissioner Bean.
May I ask the question, why do we need to put this in?
So, as I mentioned at our last commissioner meeting, the fact that we have 3 tribes that have commented on the Shoreline Master Plan, the fact that we are in a government-to-government relationship, Kitsap County to the tribal governments, and we share the Shoreline Master Plan, as well as being in 2021, the inclusion and recognition of Indigenous peoples is a value to Kitsap County. That's why I'm asking for the motion to add an additional sentence to purpose and intent of our Shoreline Master Program, because collectively our governments, we do have a shared vision and value to maintain our shorelines.
All right, Commissioner Eliason.
If memory serves me correctly, I think there are similar statements written in the actual comprehensive plan and in several other areas. And I know the staff addressed it previously, and I'm more inclined to go along with the staff's recommendation not to include it, specifically if we start entering so many of those things in the actual development codes, rather than just referencing back the the actual comprehensive plan itself. So I understand, and I think there's value to it, but I'm at this point not convinced and want to go along with the staff's recommendation.
Okay. Any other comments or proposals?
Yeah, I'm just reading through, this is Commissioner Mall. I'm reading through the purpose and intent already there. And it talks about things like residents of all ages, enhancing the quality of life for our county citizens. Those are kind of superfluous language that, could easily be deleted. So I think if we're rejecting Commissioner Smith's suggestion, why not delete all of that as well?
Commissioner Lyson.
Could staff pull that up? I must have missed the introduction because I think Commissioner Mall makes a good point. So if possible, if you could pull it up on the screen, that would be great.
Irvy, do you have 22-100-110 handy?
Yes, I do.
Sorry, I think I was on mute when I just said I just want to clarify that I don't actually believe that we should delete that. I'm just making a point that if that is there, it might give us reason not to exclude the selected or suggested language.
Understood, Commissioner Mull. Commissioner Lyson.
This isn't the first time the subject has come up. As Commissioner Smith mentioned, she introduced it at the last meeting. Has the staff run this by the prosecutor's office for any potential legal implications?
We have discussed it with legal counsel, and the primary concern with any language here, and I don't know that it necessarily does with the proposed language, would be that that we not make a conclusion of law. In other words, that there's no interpretation of what the treaty rights actually mean.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioner Lyson.
Just to clarify, and that would be my concern is the county commissioners, or if we're recommending to the county commissioners that we're doing some kind of declaration that somebody could refer back to and say, we have to, within these confines, kind of the umbrella of purpose and intent, and any of the following code needs to follow that purpose. So I've kind of gone back and forth on this, but I am concerned about approving it without input from the prosecutor's office. But I would definitely understand the reasons my colleagues would want to add it to the document. So,
Commissioner Smith.
Thank you so much. So I actually just used the staff's language in the matrix, part three, in my sentence structure. So I was cognizant of that, making sure that we didn't go too deep into the weeds, but did have a recognition of the lands, our tribal lands. You know, our county is named after a tribal person. Our logo as the county is a Native American art. We're in a government-to-government relationship and partnerships at all points in Kitsap County, and our shoreline master plan and program should reflect that as well.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioner Murphy.
Not to take this too far down the rabbit hole, but in the interest of actually, the meeting I need to leave to go to is to run a diversity, equity, and inclusion group meeting this evening. So I find it a little odd, if we're being honest about equitable language, that the end of this first sentence says residents of all ages and does not go on to continue with ages, races, religions, creeds, sexual preferences, etc. So just using the one word, ages, seems to me actually quite obscure and out of context without the rest of the sentence that we're used to using when we're referring to things that are equitable to all.
Okay. Okay, any other comments? Commissioner Smith, I think before we have a vote on this, I'd like you to read your proposal one last time.
And sorry, point of order, can we remove it? Thank you, I wanted it full screen, thanks.
So it actually would just be an additional sentence onto the existing language at the end of the paragraph stating, Kitsap County fully recognizes the American Indian Point No Point Treaty and honoring the usual and customary tribal lands.
Okay, so with no further, Commissioner Murphy.
If I might, I would actually make a motion therefore in regard to my previous statement that the word ages be removed from the end of the sentence. And for simplicity's sake, I would suggest that that first sentence end with all residents, comma, without exclusion, period.
So we can only have two motions at a time? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right.
So we first would need to vote on Commissioner Smith's motion to amend that's pending right now. And then after that, then you could propose a second motion and then make that deletion, just to keep it clean.
Okay. All right, so the vote now is for Commissioner Smith's proposed change to the sentence. All those in favor, please raise your hands and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. One, two, three, four. And all those opposed, please raise your hands, say aye.
Aye.
One, two, three. Okay. And any abstentions? No. Commissioner Murphy, I didn't catch your vote.
I voted in approval of the addition.
So we have five vote and three opposed. The proposed amendment passes. All right. Are there any other amendments to be considered?
In the interest of this discussion, I would propose one other amendment to simplify the first sentence, having it not, and I don't have it up. Kirby, if you're able to, that'd be great, so I could get it verbatim. The end of the first sentence in section 20.100.110, purpose and intent. My proposal would be that we amend the sentence to end saying opportunities used by all residents, comma, without exclusion, period.
Okay. I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second for approval? Commissioner Eliason. Second. All right, any discussion about this proposal? No? Okay. All those in favor of the proposed amendment to the first sentence, please raise your hand and say aye for approval.
Aye.
Aye. One, two, three, four, five, six. Seven. All those opposed? Is that Commissioner Eliason? Was that?
Sorry, that was a yes.
Oh, that was a yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a yes. Okay. So we have a unanimous vote at this point to amend the first sentence as proposed and passed. All right. Moving into, are there any other amendments to this title at this time, Title 22. Commissioner Eliason.
So earlier I discussed my concerns regarding view blockage. Actually, I guess it was questions I hadn't got clarification from staff. I'm not sure yet. I haven't written a proposed amendment yet. And if you want to formally have a motion, we can do that to discuss it, although we could just have a general discussion as well. But I'm concerned with the proposed language that we're infringing on the rights of non-conforming uses. As I mentioned in an example of three waterfront parcels, and the middle parcel has a structure that's 60 to 90 years old and has been burned or needs to be remodeled, et cetera, and may not follow the exact same footprint and needs to get county approval. And as I understand it in reading the proposed language, the neighboring property owners would be able to object because, of course, they built many years later when there might have been 100 to 200 foot shoreline setbacks that may not have applied to the middle parcel. And so now you're going to have a neighbor versus neighbor conflict when we get into the view blockage, when to me we're creating a problem with this new language. If we just stick to the existing code, the issue gets resolved, maybe not to everybody's satisfaction, but at least a non-conforming use that's been there all these years can rebuild in the same footprint. So if I've stating any, if I stated anything incorrect, maybe the staff can correct me or explain it.
I could be mistaken, but I believe that's what the proposed code is actually trying to do.
I think it's something that probably needs to be looked at. I read it when it was just being looked at, and I believe the way that it's laid out has made it a little confusing as to what the intent of that revision is. If there's something you're looking at, Commissioner Eliason, it might be something to pull up and actually speak through if you're making an amendment, a motion for amendment of that section.
Well, you had a similar interpretation and it's the actual language. So I don't know that I want to, right here at this particular meeting, try to draft something that's better other than maybe to express my concerns and see if the rest of the commissioners have concerns as well. Maybe not specifically on what this language does or doesn't do, but I want to ensure that we don't affect non-conforming uses. And that's kind of been throughout state law and throughout the document, but in this particular proposed language, it's referring back to written comments from citizens who have suggested that that non-conforming use doesn't have value and that the property owner, if the place burns or they want to rebuild it, that they're going to have to comply with the new code. And again, my concern is with when the two parcels I described built 20 or 30 years ago, they built knowing that 70-year-old house was there. They knew what the setbacks were. And I can understand neighbors getting concerned if there's a rebuild, remodel, or if it's bigger. But if it's in the same footprint and it's a remodel, I wouldn't want anybody to be able to use this language to object and say, well, you're non-conforming use. You're now going to have to move your entire structure back to our setback line because of view blockage.
So, Commissioner Eliason, would you be proposing to keep the existing language as is and not do the change?
I would like to, I don't know about that. I would like to continue with the current code unless the staff can rewrite it and explain exactly what we're trying to, what are we trying to fix here? What are we trying to solve? Is the intent of this new language as I described it, my concern, or is it, am I misinterpreting it?
And can we please pull up the sections that we're discussing just for simplicity's sake for all parties? Thank you.
Commissioner Eliason, you said you had a statement about, you know, an older building that was built 67 years ago that's non-conforming may not meet the specific setbacks and buffer requirements of the code today. However, any new proposed buildings, developments adjacent to that, they need to meet the setbacks and buffer standards. They don't, if the stringback line and the view blockage is less than the setback and the vegetation buffer, we need to conform and we need to comply with the vegetation buffer.
Okay, I don't have an issue with expanding the footprint, but the way it's written, it says reconstruction of existing principal building. So you're using the same exact footprint. You're not going farther out into the buffer. You're not necessarily interfering with anybody's view blockage, but now somebody's using this new language saying, aha, your building burned. And, you know, we tolerated you 70 to 90 years there, but now that you're going in to get a new permit, we're going to make you move back to where we are because we had to comply with this new setback because we built, you know, 30, 40 years later. So my concern is that I can understand triggering those things if you start making changes to the footprint. But the way I read this, it says reconstruction of existing principal buildings that are already in effect. And to me, that's a grandfathering issue.
Could you amend that by just saying established significant established views?
I guess the question is, what does it read now?
I could pull the actual code up.
No. Why is the code that we currently have, why is it bad?
So in relation to the view blockage section, there was a director's interpretation that was released and published in 2018 in relation to the confusion about view blockage and the string back line, and that accessory dwelling units are not principal buildings and should not be used to determine the setback line and view blockage line.
That director's interpretation still holds. The question is, what's wrong with the language we have now?
The language we have now is not clear. It's not clear and it's not clarified enough. It's the code that was in existence when we needed the director's interpretation. So based on that, we want to clarify the code better. To Dan, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I would just, can you hear me, Layla or Kirby?
Yeah. Yes.
This is Dan. I mean, the whole intent or the main intent of this revision in this section, you know, really has to do with providing both staff and applicants a better understanding of the interpretation. You know, that because I think before it was difficult to understand what that meaning was. I think it's part of the reason why the director's rule you know, came about in 2018. And so this is intended to provide clarity rather than change, you know, the perception is not to, you know, be changing the way this is applied, but more to provide clarity in how staff is currently implementing this language.
So under current code, forgetting the proposed language, but under current code and the director's interpretation, if you have any reconstruction of an existing principal building in the current footprint, you're going to be subject to the current SMP. And you would conceivably have to not significantly impact views from principal buildings on the adjoining properties.
So
maybe say that one more time.
Yeah,
sure. So what I'm trying to get at is in the existing code. Now I've confused myself. You're making the change to clarify what's in existence now, which existing code and the director's interpretation of 2018. So I want to know if that middle parcel that I described as an example, if they had to do any reconstruction, even within the current footprint, can the neighboring property owners object, even though it's a non-conforming use and it's currently in existence and all they're doing is reconstruction in the current footprint? Could they now, even without this language, object saying that it has a significant impact on their views?
No.
Okay, so that's the difference in what I'm trying to get at. So with this new language, they could object.
So I believe the reference when we're looking at 21, they're referencing 22400B. There's existing uses, so all lawfully established uses, both conforming and non-conforming, and then when they go to back to the all lawfully constructed structures may continue and may be repaired or maintained in accordance with the act in this program. So in referencing 22-400-100B, they're trying to point to something that would be non-conforming, saying this would continue to be allowed. That's the intent of what is here, but it does go on to then say must also be designed not to significantly impact views. So I think what you're pointing to is that it feels as though the two are in conflict, and someone could come and say that the must also not designed not to significantly, well, you're impacting my view, regardless of whether they came 30 years later or not. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you were to add in, must also be designed not to significantly impact established views, would that clarify it enough to remove that question?
Well, I guess my question is, what's the purpose of that second clause, must also be designed to? That was put in there for a reason. What's that reason?
Well, and my concern is that there's a lot of people out there that are trying to get rid of all non-conforming uses and get those pesky humans off the waterfront. I mean, that's the extreme. I'm not suggesting the staff's doing that, because I've complimented the staff. I think the staff's been had a very thoughtful approach to all of these issues.
But you do have a concern about the wording on this.
Oh, yeah, I can see that this is the, I'm sorry, Commissioner Shattuck's not here. I could tease him and the ambulance chasers, but this is, my concern is this is going to open up more litigation that never goes to court, but it makes attorneys wealthy because they do pen pal letters to the department and to the clients back and forth, and it goes on 3 years and the staff's ready to pull their hair out trying to referee. And again, I realize it's a lot of the code amendments that you have is trying to have clarification so that you can get resolve these issues. I mean, if that weren't the case, you wouldn't have the 2018 interpretation. So I realize you're trying to fix a problem, but I'm concerned it's going to create a bigger problem. And okay,
the intent here is to allow reconstruction to happen within those existing views. It's not to try to get rid of the reconstruction or prevent it from happening. So if there's a change in this language that would help facilitate that, we're open to suggestion.
What is the implication if we strike that section that just says we strike from must also?
Well, if you struck the yellow section here where it says including reconstruction of existing homes, I think that would achieve your end.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I'll make a motion to under.
Quick question.
Oh, go ahead.
Rather than losing all of the yellow, it might be easier if you just simply made the entire statement. All such buildings must also be designed not to significantly impact view lines from principal buildings on adjoining and neighboring properties. And then period. Reconstruction of existing principal buildings is allowed per section 22-400-100, which then clearly states that you're allowed to continue to build in the same footprint. It gives you the guidelines for non-conforming.
Exactly.
So moved. And our poor clerk, I can't repeat it. I don't know if maybe Jeff could repeat it.
I was just going to say, if you just clarify it a little bit, I'll catch up and.
Sure.
Jeff, before you start, the first statement, in order to protect water views or principal buildings and all additions, do you want to also keep that? Because that is in relation to any, including reconstruction.
I'm not talking about getting rid of that. Really, what you're looking at is at the very tail end, taking the portion that says reconstruction of existing principal buildings is allowed per section 22-400-100B.
Okay. So that you're just moving it to the end.
You're moving it to the end. That way, if they're adding on or there's reconstruction or addition, not reconstruction, but there's an addition, they have to conform with the new code. You can't be already non-conforming and make something more non-conforming is the point.
Perfect. That solves all the problems.
You go ahead and you can go ahead and say, but if your reconstruction of existing adhere to 22400-100B, which is going to say non-conforming structure, and allow the reconstruction. Does that clean it up enough? The intent was to go ahead and allow people to still do it. I just don't think it should necessarily be in the middle as opposed to.
Yeah, the wording does create a little bit of ambiguity there.
Commissioner Murphy, and I'm going to need to step out for another meeting, but I just want to say, you know, thank you, Jeff, for the clarification. I do think that it's the wording is the problem. I think the simpler, the better. And if 22400-100B states that you can replace in a nonconforming fashion, as long as you're not more nonconforming, that's the language through the code all over the place. This one just got clouded. So I think that cleans it up, and I would vote to approve even if I'm not here, if that's allowed.
Okay.
So if I'm clear, the proposed amendment is going to be after all such buildings to strike, including reconstruction of existing principal buildings allowed per section 22.400.100B, and to add the sentence, reconstruction of existing principal buildings is allowed per section 22.400.100B, following
that.
Joining in a neighboring proper. Okay, thank you. All right, I've got it.
Could you perhaps share that just so everybody can read it as proposed? Amanda?
I don't have it cleaned up to do that. I can give you the
All right.
Actually, Kirby, can you put that back up on the screen, please? Actually, this might be an opportunity to take a very quick 5-minute break, if that's okay.
Yes.
It'll help with tech, and then I can finish this up and we'll be back.
Okay. We will reconvene here. It is 6:48 at 6:55. We'll add a 2-minute.
Thank you.